Russia has been in the news a lot lately. We're going to talk about that. And is it a threat, an existential threat? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who is the executive director of the EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. He's also a former chief of staff. He's an author as well as some books called Blackout Wars, as well as a book about Poseidon. And so we're going to talk about this right now on Vocal Point. Thank you, Dr. Pry, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. First of all, let's back up for a minute. The Cold War seemed to have ended in the early 1990s with the implosion of the Soviet Union. And now, obviously, things are starting to heat up a bit here and there. And what are your remarks about the recent situation with Trump meeting with Putin? And it seems like even conservatives were saying, well, Trump did not have a good day.
Well, the Cold War ended for us, but I think that was a delusion on the part of the United States and the Western democracies. You know, the General Staff never lost its paranoia, and neither did the GRU. They always thought that the Cold War was going on.
What's the GRU?
That is Russian Military Intelligence.
Okay.
It's probably the largest intelligence agency in the world. It's much larger than the CIA, and it's basically the intelligence arm of the Russian General Staff. And they, even when Vladimir Putin was president of Russia, you know, believed the United States was a threat. In fact, they were more frightened of the United States during the Cold War than they were, after the Cold War, than they were during the Cold War, because they were constantly fearful that the United States would take advantage of Russian weakness to defeat them and finally complete the conquest of the Cold War. Because if they were in the situation that the United States was, where NATO had fallen apart and the United States was militarily and economically weak, that's what they would have done. And now that Russia has recouped its strength, we are starting to wake up to the fact that there has been a new Cold War going on all along after the old Cold War. You know, this is why Russia is building nuclear super weapons that we don't have any counterparts to in our arsenal. And Vladimir Putin announced some of these back on the 31st of March. A lot of people see China as the bigger threat. And China is a bigger economic power than Russia. But Russia has more conventional military strength, and it is the greatest nuclear power in the world. And I'll repeat that, the greatest nuclear power in the world. They have more nuclear weapons, far more than the United States has, because in addition to their strategic nuclear arsenal, which is made of advanced modern nuclear weapons, that most of which have no counterpart in the United States, our strategic deterrent is obsolete. They have thousands of tactical nuclear weapons, and we dismantled most of those during the Cold War. Now, did President Trump make a mistake at Helsinki? You know, I know a lot of my colleagues are tearing their hair out over things like opening the possibility of negotiating a START treaty, a new START treaty, Putin's comments about wanting to counteract our space-based defenses. Sit back a little bit, you know, if one and understand that the United States has never been in a weaker military position than it is now, thanks to the Obama administration. We've had 8 years of Obama dismantling, basically, and neglecting our nuclear deterrent and our conventional military forces. President Trump is trying to reverse that, but he's only been in office 1 year, and he hasn't reversed that. If Russia had decided to invade NATO and deliver on any of its threats, we'd be in big trouble. We might not be able to win that World War III right now. So President Trump doesn't have any choice but to reach out to Russia to try to lower Russia's paranoia, to find a way to keep the peace until the United States is militarily capable of continuing to keep the peace, but through strength. What our strategic goal should be, and what General Flynn wanted to do, and what Trump has wanted to do all along, but the Democrats are stupidly trying to stop this, is break up the new Cold War axis that exists between Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. Those countries are all involved in a tacit alliance against us, working against our interests all over the world. It'll fall apart if we can peel off from that alliance their strongest member, their most dangerous member, which is Russia. And I think that's what President Trump was trying to do. His language, and what he was saying wasn't intended for an American audience and not intended for our European allies. It was aimed at Putin, to try to signal to Putin that the United States wants to maintain peace and is offering some carrots to the Russians. This doesn't mean that we're going to deliver on any of those things that he said, but we really can't afford to be confrontational with Russia and poke the bear and quote-unquote call their bluff, because the Russians aren't bluffing. They've got the military upper hand, and do we really want to antagonize Russia and try to win a World War III when we're not ready for it? Only a fool would. And that's why Trump doesn't deserve to be criticized. People need to be aware of just how bad our situation is. There are not only consequences to elections, there are consequences to neglecting your defense posture for 8 years. And this is the kind of price you have to pay when your adversaries have a military advantage over you.
This is fascinating. This is not a perspective you hear very often. So basically, President Trump, in trying to deal with Putin, was not arguing from a position of strength. He was arguing, or he was dealing with a position of weakness.
In a position of weakness, yes.
Huh. Interesting. No, this is you just don't hear this every day. I mean, people, I guess, have had, you know, maybe they're starting from the premise that the United States has all the nukes, Russia has nothing, and Putin's a bad
guy.
Living
in the past, those people who are so critical either don't understand what the actual numbers are. The numbers matter, okay? They think it's still the end of the old Cold War. And look at our NATO alliance, even. Do you know that until 2 years ago, we didn't have a main battle tank left in NATO Europe? The Obama administration took them all out. You know, we're starting to return them. Russia has more main battle tanks than almost all of our European allies combined, if you subtract Turkey. And Turkey isn't going to be any help to us in defending Western European NATO.
That's true.
There isn't a single main battle tank in any of the Baltic republics, not one. Among the Baltic republics, they have one fighter aircraft, only in Lithuania. And it's at the far edge of where we are able to reach to project our forces. And that's just conventional forces. You know, we don't know how many tactical nuclear weapons Russia has. According to the NPR, they might have as few as 2,000. We have fewer than 200. That's 10 times as many tactical nuclear weapons as we have. During the Cold War, Russia had 20,000 tactical nuclear weapons, and we don't really know that they dismantled them. It's a wishful best-case thinking on the part of our intelligence community. They're basically taking the Russians at their word that they reduced their tactical nuclear arsenal to 2,000. These numbers matter. They matter very much. And let's not forget, we have to project power over the Atlantic Ocean in order to come to the rescue of our European NATO allies. You know, we've allowed our force projection capabilities to wither away. We don't have the military we had during Desert Storm. So these are the factors. These are the hard military facts. And, you know, we have to go through a period of trying to calm things down. You know, the Democrats, those who have been accusing Trump of collusion, and I find it really ironic that the same people who are always talking about the Russia threat to our elections, where were they when President Trump was voting to increase the defense budget and increase spending on our strategic forces? The Democrats were against it. You know, they've blackmailed the president into having to increase defensive spending for every dollar of increased defense spending. That's what the Democrats want, because they don't want increased defense spending. That seems to belie their fear of Russia. But we should be afraid of Russia right now. Now, we shouldn't act out of fear, but what we need to do is avoid getting into a war and then rebuild our strength so that we can do the Reagan strategy, mm-hmm. peace through strength. Russia respects military power. It's one of the few things they do respect. And if we have that, you know, then we can afford to take, and will, and should, we can take a more confrontational attitude so that they will know we can't be pushed around and bullied around. you know, to talk about when you give the disparity in the correlation of forces as it exists right now, a situation where Vladimir Putin boasts that he could walk into six NATO capitals in 3 days, and he's right. You know, when you face that situation, it wouldn't be such a bad thing to get them to the negotiating table and start talking arms control again instead of engaging in a nuclear saber rattling when we have a much smaller nuclear saber.
All right, let me ask you this. What is Putin's goal? What does he want to do?
Putin has told us that he wants to reconstitute the former Soviet Union, and he regards that as the, you know, greatest catastrophe that has befallen humans in history. But he wants to do more than that. You know, he basically wants to destroy the NATO alliance, not necessarily military. He will do it militarily if he thinks he has to. But what he would like to do is so overawe the NATO alliance and undercut their confidence in U.S. security guarantees to them that the NATO alliance, it might exist on paper, but it will be no longer effective. He would like to Finlandize the NATO alliance and, in effect, have all the NATO allies, and he's well along the way to doing that. That's why President Trump was quite right to criticize Angela Merkel for being so energy dependent upon Russia. You know, the Russians have strategic reasons for wanting to make Germany dependent upon them in terms of energy, and the Germans have a Neville Chamberlain-type appeasement foreign policy attitude toward Russia, where they feel it will appease the bear if they do become dependent upon them in various things like energy, trade, and the like. This is a soft way of destroying the NATO alliance, you know, by making them dependent and so fearful of offending Russia that they won't want to take the necessary steps to strengthen NATO. I mean, have you noticed how hard the president has had at getting the NATO members to increase their defense spending to merely 2% of GDP? They haven't done that. You know, only Britain and a couple of the weakest NATO states are spending what they should on, you know, on defense. You know, Russia would like them not to do that, of course. But this is an example of where, you know, Trump was absolutely right to insist that our NATO allies start carrying their fair share of the burden, because NATO has never been weaker. I mean, the European NATO allies have hollowed themselves out with their low defense spending. And at the same time, it's hurt us economically, you know, because we have been carrying the burden of NATO defense. And that has taken away jobs and economic trillions of dollars out of the U.S. economy in order to compensate for that. It has resulted in the weakening of the alliance overall. Russia would certainly like that situation to continue. Ideally, they'd like to win World War III without war, which is what you can do with nuclear weapons, by the way. Wow. With nuclear superiority,
yeah.
You basically don't have to fight a war. We should have learned that from the end of the Cold War, because that's how we won the Cold War without it becoming a hot war. Wow. You know, our Strategic Defense Initiative, which threatened to neutralize the Russian nuclear deterrent. They couldn't compete with it.
And it was all defense. It was all defense-based. Listen, we have about a minute left. In a sentence, what does it mean to Finlandize? What did you mean by that in a sentence?
Well, during the Cold War, you know, Finland's foreign policy was very much like one of appeasement. You know, it tried to do everything it could to
keep
the Russian bear happy. And they would like that same attitude to exist throughout NATO.
All right. With the time remaining, and we only have now, it's only 45 seconds. Explain your books, Blackout Wars, and the Poseidon book, both available at Amazon.com. Go ahead. Half a minute, sir.
It's about a new way of warfare that Russia, China, and North Korea have developed that depends on electromagnetic pulse attack. We would need a whole show to talk about that.
Sure. I'd be happy to.
You'll have to have me back then, since we're almost out of time.
I would be happy to do that. Again, your books are called Blackout Wars and then also Poseidon.
That's about a new super weapon that the Russians have deployed. They mounted it on March 1. It carries a 100 megaton warhead. It's an artificially intelligent 100 megaton warhead, most powerful nuclear warhead ever built, that is in a robot submarine designed to create radioactive tsunamis that would flood the United States with 300-foot-high radioactive tsunamis and render our coastal areas uninhabitable for centuries.
Okay, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.